Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this evening we will dive a little deeper into that ocean of unlimited happiness, the ocean of Krishna consciousness, through the transcendental medium of Bhagavad Gita, as it is translated and purported by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Gaur Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, chapter 9, text number 2. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pravitram Midamuttamam Prachakshavagamam Dhamyam Susukham Kratamam Yayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It's everlasting and it's joyfully performed. So I saw one sign yesterday driving around Toronto. They were advertising how many universities are in Toronto. How many universities are here? Does anyone know? They were advertising some big number. So, what is university is supposed to be a place of higher education, isn't it? But what education is given in the university of the basic principles of existence? They can educate you how to manipulate the material energy in various ways. But who is doing the manipulating? That we do not know. They can teach how to make some electricity, how to make a bulb light up, how to make a computer do something, you see. How to write some computer programming language to make the computer turn green or turn yellow on the screen, you see. But who is that person who is writing C++ computer code or, you know, programming the chip that runs the computer, wiring the chip, you see. That they do not know. The fundamental thing, that they do not know. The basic foundational information, that they do not know. Therefore, in spite of making such an elaborate civilization with so many varieties of material facilities, ever increasingly more sophisticated varieties of material facilities, you see, people are frustrated. They're miserable. Whatever happiness they have is always limited. So what are we doing here today at the Hare Krishna Temple of Toronto? Why are we here? Because we have something better than they do. Otherwise, what are we doing here? We could be out attending a seminar on how to make more money. Right? We have an afternoon off, we could be learning how to make more money. But here we're learning about something called Krishna consciousness. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because Krishna consciousness, this science of Krishna consciousness described in the Bhagavad Gita, connects you with your actual true nature. You actually find out who you are. No one tells us who we are. My parents didn't tell me, my teachers didn't tell me, my professors didn't tell me. When I got to college, all I wanted to know is, who am I? What is the purpose of my existence? And no one could tell me. And they call it higher education. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, we are getting actual higher education. Raja Vidya. It's the king of education. Not just higher education, we are getting the highest education. And that means that this society that Prabhupada has founded, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is actually the leading educational institution in this world. Not Oxford, not Harvard, not Cambridge, not Yale, but ISKCON. Sometimes you think, well, I need to be accredited. You know, we have to become accredited by the universities so what we're saying will be recognized. But actually, it's the other way around. These mundane universities have to become accredited by ISKCON, so they will actually be recognized as places of education, higher education. That's actually the way it really works. Not that, oh, ISKCON has to be accredited by this university and that university, so our education will have some validity. No. The other way around. If Yale and Oxford and Harvard and Cambridge want to be recognized as actual places of higher education, they need to become accredited by ISKCON, actually. They have to have learned Vaishnava, realized Vaishnava Brahmins on their staff who are teaching what is the actual meaning and purpose of existence. Rajavidya. And Krishna then says, Raja Guhyam. It is the most secret of all secrets. We're making it so open. We even had an open house here yesterday. 1,500 people came. But still it remains secret. Why is it remain secret? Why does it remain secret? Because people are in the clouds of illusion. We can tell them about Krishna, but then they don't really hear about Krishna. They hear their own conceptions. They translate what we're saying into their own illusion understanding. We say Krishna, they may think, oh, Hindu God. I'm not a Hindu. Therefore, Krishna is not God for me. You know, they translate like that in their mind. As soon as you start talking about Krishna. But correct me if I'm wrong, but this deity here is called Jagannath, isn't that correct? Krishna, standing here, he is known as Jagannath. Was he ever called Hindunath? Was that name ever there in any temple? Hindunath Mandir? I've never heard that name, Hindunath. He is Jagannath, he is Lord of the universe. So how they can say Hindu God? If that was true, that would be Hindunath, Hindu God. But no, it's Jagannath. Krishna is the Lord of the whole universe. So because they want to put everything into, you know, compartments, well, this sect and that sect, therefore it remains secret. Who created all these religions anyway? Did God create all the religions? What do you think? Did God create the religions? No. Dharman hi sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Religion, notice there's no S at the end of that word. It's just religion without an S on it. Religion is given by God. Dharma, that's singular. Religion or dharma is given by God. So how did we get all these different religions? Any guess? Well, it was man's invention to create this religion, that religion, and this religion. Which religion do you belong to? Someone may ask, which religion do you belong to? Well, I don't belong to any religion. We are on a higher level of consciousness. When you actually come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, you are on the platform of religion. It is not a religion, it is religion. You understand the difference? You're in Krishna consciousness, you are on the platform of religion, period. Religion, the English word religion comes from the Latin word religio, to reconnect, to relink. to re-lig, you see, with God. So we have no objection if someone wants to say Allah, or Christ, Jehovah, or Krishna. But one has to say the names of the Lord with love and full submission to His will. And my e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course, we have actually 20,000 people who signed up for that course all over the world. And one man objected. It was actually a Hindu gentleman. He objected that, why are you introducing this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's sectarian. It's amazing, a Hindu would complain about the Hare Krishna mantra. He said you should make something that's more universal. I was wondering, what does he want? Universal consciousness, universal consciousness, universal consciousness, universal consciousness. What does he want? So I told him this. I said, my dear sir, the sun is known by different names in different languages. You can call it the sun in English. You can call it El Sol in Spanish. You can call it Surya in Hindi. If I call it the sun, am I being sectarian? If I call it Surya, am I being sectarian? No. What is sectarian is if I say that the sun is the only name for it. See? Or, you know, Surya is the only name, or El Sol is the only name. That is sectarianism. So introducing the Hare, I didn't even mention the Hare Krishna, I just told him about the sun, and he immediately got the point, understood, yes, you're right. Immediately understood. That introducing the Hare Krishna mantra is not sectarian. It's only sectarian if you say these are the only names of God. And if you don't chant Hare Krishna, if you go to hell. We don't say that. Lord Chaitanya says there's hundreds and millions of names for the Lord, and each of them have the equal potency, but the problem is I don't have any taste for chanting. You see? So that's the proper understanding. So then what does Krishna say next? The next thing he says is Pavitram idam uttamam. This is the purest knowledge. Prachakshavagamam dharmyam. Prachakshavagamam. If you study the different types of evidence, you know that pratyaksha is direct perception. There's pratyaksha evidence, there's anuman, and there's shabda. Anuman is mental speculation, following the mind, anuman. And then you have shabda, transcendental sound vibration. So here Krishna is saying pratyakshavagamam, which means you will directly experience the self by realization. We say that we're not the body, that we're spirit self. But when you actually become absorbed in the bhakti yoga process, you're actually striving diligently to achieve pure devotion. What happens is you actually experience tangibly your spiritual identity. Your spiritual body is a reality. And you actually begin to experience things. You directly experience the self by realization. That happens. And it's the perfection of religion, and it's everlasting and joyfully performed. Prabhupada explains in one lecture that this Krishna consciousness process, it is simply recreation. In those days, Prabhupada was called Swamiji. He said, you cannot find any point that you can say, Swamiji, this point is troublesome. He said, nothing at all, it is simply recreation. Susukam. Sukham we know is happiness, but this is susukham, very, very happy thing. Extremely happy thing. The fact is that if you can chant the name Krishna with purity, with complete purity, that one recitation of those two syllables, Krishna, contains so much nectar, the entire universe cannot contain that nectar. So how much bliss there is in chanting the full mantra, purely. So what's the problem? Why aren't we there yet? Well, we're holding on to our anarthas. I mean, that we have to just admit it. We're not tasting the sweetest inconceivable nectar at every second because we're holding on to our anarthas. So what do we do about it? We just have to strive to cultivate pure devotion, that's all. It's a very simple thing. Every day we should wake up and we should think, on this day, let me strive to achieve pure devotional service. At every minute we should be thinking, let me put myself completely in a mood of total complete surrender to my spiritual master and to Lord Sri Krishna. At every minute we should cultivate that mood. Our mind should be thinking that way, and that will be reflected then in our, if our mind is actually thinking that way, it will come out in our speech, it will come out in our activities. And we commit so many mistakes, there's no doubt about it, we're conditioned. But we shouldn't be content to think, well, you know, I'll just do this, contain it, you know, continue with this level, it's not possible to be a pure devotee, I'll just continue with this level. We should actually consciously strive to become pure devotees at every minute. Every day. Sometimes people say, well, I've heard people ask, well, are you a full-time devotee or you're a part-time devotee? Whereas if you're living in the temple, then you're a full-time devotee, and if you're not, you must be a part-time devotee. Well, my question is, let's say somebody is a householder living on the outside, they're going to their job on Monday morning. Are they full-time or part-time devotee? When they go to work, do they give up being a devotee? Start eating boga and smoking cigarettes. No, they're a devotee at work also. You see? They're trying to be Krishna conscious while they perform their occupational duty in their corporate job, you see. So actually, whatever we're doing at every minute, whether I'm at my job, trying to please my boss, so that I keep my job, whether I'm at home, engaging my family members in chanting Hare Krishna in a kirtan, whether I'm commuting, anywhere and everywhere I should strive for pure bhakti at every minute. And if we do that, do you think Krishna will not reciprocate with that? Akama sarvakama va'a moksha kama udaradi. Krishna says whatever you want, whether you want material desires, whether you want moksha, whether you want bhakti, you should have prayed to me for that. So if we intensely endeavor and beg Krishna to give us pure devotion at every minute, do you think he will not reciprocate with that prayer? He definitely will. He'll be so pleased that this person wants to become my pure devotee and they're begging me, please give me pure devotion every day. They keep bugging me. Please give me pure devotion, Krishna. I want pure bhakti. I don't want to be a karma mishra bhakta. I want to be a pure bhakta. Krishna will definitely reciprocate with that. So this is what we should do, and then we will actually experience what's being described here by Krishna. Every moment will be the sweetest nectar for us. Sweetest, most delicious nectar at every minute. So I heard it ends at 7:20, and my watch says we have 3 minutes. Oh good, it looks, can't read that one there. Maybe it's a little slower than mine. I have 5 minutes? 5 minutes. Someone said, anyway, are there any questions? That's the point. If you have a question, yes.
What should be the result of knowledge? What should be the result of knowledge?
The result of knowledge is very clear. If you actually have knowledge, you actually understand things as they are, then you will act accordingly. Prabhupada personally instructed me in this matter. He said that if you do not apply the knowledge, it will become tasteless. In the beginning, just hearing the knowledge is very exciting. But if we don't actually put that knowledge into practice, then Prabhupada told me it will become dry and tasteless after some time. So the real result of knowledge, if you've actually grasped that knowledge, then you will act in accordance with that knowledge. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurinitai ki jai. So let us do like them. That is intelligence. Repeat that, please. Culmination of applying the knowledge is to achieve pure love of God, pure Krishna prema, where you have no interest separate from the Lord. That whatever, you're just completely and totally absorbed in pleasing Krishna with every thought, every word, every deed, and every time, every place, and every circumstance. You have no interest separate from Krishna's interest. That is the perfection. What's the fate?
State of mind.
What's his state of mind? He's absolutely ecstatic. He's absolutely ecstatic. There's no such thing as a reverse condition for such a person. He sees everything as pure nectar. He experiences everything as pure nectar. There's no such thing as a reverse condition for a person who's purely absorbed in serving Krishna. Everything that happens to him simply increases his love for Krishna more and more and more. He just dives deeper and deeper and deeper into that ocean of Krishna prema. Ever increasingly sweet. Nava nava rasa, as described by Jamunacharya or Bandra. Nava nava rasa damunjat. Previously he was king, he was having so much illicit sex. But now he's become a devotee of Krishna. He says, ever since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, getting nava nava rasa, newer and newer taste in that bhakti, that service to Krishna. Whenever I think of material sense gratification, sex life, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought.
Why are we so attracted to happiness?
We are attracted to being happy because anando maya vyasak. The nature of the living being is to be happy. That is our nature. A fish is attracted to the water because his nature is to swim in the water. So our actual nature is to be happy in Krishna service. The problem is we try to be happy artificially by being imitation Krishnas. That's the difficulty. But being happy, that is your normal state of mind. That is healthy condition. That's why we always hanker for happiness. We're just foolishly going about it the wrong way. That's the wrong way. That's why guru is required. We have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And then he teaches us how to actually become happy. What did Prabhupada always say? Chant and be happy. Prabhupada wanted us to be happy. If some devotee was unhappy, he would say, don't be morose, don't be morose, don't be morose. Prabhupada didn't want us to be unhappy. He came to make us happy, to bring us back to our original blissful natures, Krishna's devotees. Yes.
Whether it is a good deed or a bad deed, what is the percentage of our act in that, and what is the percentage of God's act in that, Krishna's act in that?
What is the person?
How much we are involved in one act? So, you know, Krishna says that I am the doer.
Yes.
So, but we are also doing because of
Swabhava. Yes, yes. Even though we, in one sense we are not the doer, in the other sense we are, because there are two natures which are doing everything. The spiritual nature is doing everything. The spiritual There's para-prakriti and apara-prakriti. The spiritual nature, the spiritual energy acts, and this, the material nature also acts. We have a choice which nature we want to be under. So we are responsible for our activities because we choose which nature we want to be under. That's why we're responsible, even though the material nature is actually doing it in one sense, because people are just being manipulated by the modes of nature. But you have a choice of coming out and being a liberated person as a devotee and acting freely without being manipulated by the modes. If you choose to be under the influence of the modes, then you have to take responsibility for everything you do while you're under the influence of the modes. Just like someone can say, well, Your Honor, I was drunk. I'm not responsible for killing that person. I didn't know what I was doing when I murdered him. I was drunk. But he said, but you made the choice of becoming drunk. So you do have to take the responsibility for that murder you committed, even though you weren't conscious that you did it, because you were so intoxicated. If you choose to be under the, to try to imitate the Lord and put yourself under His material energy, you have to take responsibility for every single thing that's done by you. Even though the modes are actually doing it, you're responsible because you place yourself under the modes voluntarily by trying to imitate Krishna. So come out of the modes. Come to the liberated position of pure devotional service. That is our request. So, if anybody would like to join, we have a paper and pen. We have our free e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. But we need some paper and pen somewhere. But anyone who would like to sign up, just give your name and email address, and we can add you to the course. So my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Das, I think, has just gone out looking for a pen and paper. And so you can approach her. Here she has. So you can just approach her. Everyone sees Vishnupriya Manaji here. So you can approach her if you'd like to be on this free e-course. You'll receive a wonderful, what's called, thought for the day every day in your email box, and a weekly lesson also. So you can sign up with her if you're interested. So we thank you very much for your kindness to allow us to be here with you wonderful sadhus. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.